I'd like to welcome everyone. I understand we have a lot of people either out or traveling. Looks like we don't have any Bighams. That's a lot. Okay. When David finally built a tent in the town of Jerusalem and brought the ark to reside in Jerusalem, this is what he's saying in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So let us seek the Lord. Let us rejoice in him. Let's pray. Father, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray in Jesus our Lord's name. Amen.
This next song, we'll have our scripture reading and prayer.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use a word. tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat would say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise and glory from those you have redeemed. Tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts.
Our scripture reading this morning will be out of Psalms chapter 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with the willing spirit. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I pray that just each and every day that we would just be just living with that clean heart and that steadfast spirit, Father. I pray that if there's anything that's in us that's hindering us from that, I pray that we would just give that over to you and just once again restore that that fellowship we have with you. I thank you that you sent your Son that can cleanse our hearts, that His great sacrifice and His death on the cross is the only thing that can truly cleanse our heart from the sin and darkness of this world. And I pray that we would live our lives according to that. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's turn to song number 781. 781. Thank you. Oh, nope, that's not it. Let's do the right one. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you. Oh, and I thank you.
779.
It's a simple verse, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It's helped me, I don't know, navigate this week. It's been an emotional roller coaster for a lot of people. But the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered into a vain discussion. So hope that helps you refocus as well, and let's focus now on God. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here as a family, to focus on you, to give you the glory and honor that only you deserve. We pray that we take this bread in a manner pleasing to you, and that we focus our lives on you and only on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. God, we thank you for sending Jesus to spill his blood on the cross so that ours doesn't have to be. We thank you for his death and resurrection. We thank you for giving us life through him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Pray for the offering. God, we thank you for blessing us with all of our physical belongings, things that won't pass with us into eternity. We pray that we can use all of these things to your glory, be good stewards of everything we have. Please help us to give cheerfully to anyone and everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and be standing, please, if you would. We're not going to let this technology get in the way of praising our Lord this morning, are we? All right.
I love the Lord, for he died my soul to save. On Calvary, his dear life he freely gave.
With him could be living.
has been so good to me. He gave his life from sin to set me free. No greater love than his could ever be. I love the Lord because he first loved me.
Please be seated. If you would, mark song number 458. 458 will be after the lesson this morning. And then turn to song number 659. 659.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my love. Nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story.
Good morning. So Michael and Sonny and Garrett are all at home. Is this thing on? Can y'all hear me now? All right. Anyway, Michael and Sonny and Garrett are all at home. They've been tested for COVID. Don't know if they've got it or not, but they're staying away just to make sure. So I get to do the talk today. So church is going to be short. I've been thinking a lot about how the Holy Spirit can come into a person and kind of what all is involved in that process on a personal level. Whenever I lead prayers, I'm always praying, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that's been on my mind a lot lately, actually, even before Michael and I talked about me doing this morning. So I thought I'd talk about this morning. But before we get started, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for allowing us to come together and worship you and hear from your word, Lord. We pray that you give me the strength and the courage to be able to speak your words, Lord, and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I think about the process of how the Holy Spirit can come through a person, there's three steps that I think of, and it actually kind of reminds me of the military. When a person goes into the military, the first step is to go through boot camp. And boot camp, there's three purposes for boot camp. One is to break you. They want to break you of all your habits, of all the stuff that you've thought you've ever known, and get you out of your old ways. And then they want to build you up again. And then they want to fill you with their training. Well, the first part, the breaking, any of us that have been through boot camp, there's a lot of verbal breakage. They will beat you down and everything that you've ever known. They'll push that out of you because they can't teach you if you're already doing something one way. It's kind of the you can't teach an old dog new tricks type mentality. They want to break you of whatever it is that you know how to do. Some people are easily broken, and some it takes more intense training and correction, but eventually the recruit's broken. Their next goal is to build that recruit back up. This is the physical part of boot camp. I mean, that's where you get into your running and your jumping jacks and your push-ups and your drills and your rope climbing and all this other stuff that they work to build you. And then the third part is the training, the filling you with their traditions and their goals and the things that they want you to know and how to do to serve their military purposes. So the three steps are to break, to build, and to fill. Christian life is very similar to this. In order for us to be filled with the Spirit, we must first be broken. We have to have our hearts broken. And it's kind of the idea that you can't fix a problem that you don't admit you have. I mean, that's what they've always said. The first step to fixing a problem is to admit that you have a problem. So you've got to have your heart broken. You've got to be convicted. You've got to understand that you have a life of sin and the stain that that carries with it and the price that is paid for that, whether you allow Jesus to pay the price for it or if you're going to just carry it yourself and pay it at the end yourself. You have to understand that there's a price there. That breakage has to happen. If you never come to accept that you're stained with sin, then there's no purpose in even trying to get Jesus in your life because you're perfect, right? I mean, if you've got no stains, you're already pure. So at that point, there's no purpose in coming to Jesus. This makes me think of Peter's sermon at Pentecost. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, which, I mean, we all know the story. They're all sitting in the room, and the Spirit comes on them, and like a mighty wind, and they all have the Spirit, and they're talking in tongues and prophesying and all this stuff. And Peter stands up, and he starts preaching at everybody that can hear him. I mean, if you were within earshot, he's talking to you. And I want to read what all he says here. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are not seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter tells them the story about the prophecy of Jesus. He tells them about Jesus and tells them that this is who God has promised, and this is who you killed. And it cut them to the heart. They were broken. Now they have a starting point. What do we do? And so Jesus tells them, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. So they were broken. Another example here, not in the scripture, another example of what we're talking, it's kind of like a jar. Peter just broke their jar. But if you can, just imagine a jar that's filled with something you can't pour out. Say it's full of concrete and it's cured. You turn it any which way you want. You can't pour it out. But say there's something that you need to put in it, and that's the only jar you got. But you need to put it in there. You can't. It's full. It's got concrete in it. The only way to do it, if you had to use that jar, the only way to do it would be to break the jar. Pull all the concrete out of it. Clean it out real good. Piece it back together. Glue it. And then you can fill it. Then you can put something in there. God used Peter to break these guys' jars. And then he told them how to clean it out. The next step is rebuilding. Or in the Christian's life, the healing of our hearts. When we finally realize that we need to respond to the call of Christ and that conviction breaks our heart, we have to rebuild so we can fill. You can't fill a broken jar. I mean, it's pieces. You can't put anything in there. So you have to start building it back up. And you have to go through some steps to be able to start building. The first is to accept that you're forgiven. There's a lot of us that's really hard to do. There's a lot of really bad things that a lot of us have done, and it's hard to accept that Jesus died for all of that. Our human minds tend to compare sin. You know, these guys, little white lies, and this guy knocked over a bank. You know, our minds tend to think that the bank robber did something worse. But sin is sin. It's all a stain. So we have to understand that, and we have to understand that when Jesus died for our sins, he died for all of our sins. And we can't just nitpick and choose which ones of our personal sins that Jesus died for. When you accept it and you've been forgiven, you're forgiven. It's all gone. So considering all that, sometimes it can be difficult to accept that Christ died for all of us, but he did. The story that comes to mind here is the story when Jesus forgave Peter. We all know that story. Peter denied Christ 3 times. And Jesus, by all rights, when he came back, he could have condemned him. He could have shriveled him up. He could have done it like he did the tree, you know, wither him away. But he didn't. He asked Peter if he loved him, and he forgave him. And he told him, I plan on building my church around this. So where Jesus could have condemned him, he made it instead made him a cornerstone. That's kind of the opposite of the way we tend to respond to when people do us wrong. When I got kicked out of the military for drug use, and when I first started coming back and decided to join the church again and be part of the family again, this story actually meant a lot to me, because if Peter could deny Christ and be forgiven, then a little bit of cocaine wasn't really all that big a deal. I mean, just it really wasn't when you put it in perspective. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I wanted to read this here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just that right there is enough for you to understand that you have your forgiveness. If you're accepting Jesus, if you've been baptized, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. In these verses, Paul's telling us that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, in that process, the condemnation for our sins has been dealt with. It's been accounted for. It's not ours to carry anymore. And if you can realize that, then your heart can start being forgiven. And when your heart gets forgiven, that's when it can start being filled. And that's where you start living your life in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. That's where you start thinking of things of God, which comes to our last step. The last step is training or filling our hearts. We've allowed Jesus to smash the jar. We've accepted that he cleaned out the pieces and put it back together. And now we have to allow him to fill our hearts with his Spirit. Turn over one more time to Luke 11:14-26. This has always been one of my favorite stories. Luke 11:14. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute, and when the demon, that's not the one I was wanting. Never mind. There it is, 24. Sorry, I said 14, it's 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finding none. It says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last day of the person is worse than the first. So Jesus is kind of telling the same kind of deal I'm saying, except for he's using a house instead of a jar. The demon's left. The evil spirit is gone. And the man cleaned out the house. He put everything in order, but he never filled it. Kind of the same thing with us. If we break our jar, if we clean it out and we get it put back together, but we don't fill it with the Spirit, it says here, the state of that person is worse than the first. It's kind of that. That's where you got to concentrate daily sometimes you have to really concentrate on the minute, on filling that empty jar with the Spirit. So how do you do that? I guess would be the next question that I would have. I know we're bouncing around. I'm going to turn one more thing. Go to Ephesians 5, 17 to 32. We'll look and see what this says about living in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's actually a good verse, but that's not the one I wanted. I wanted 4:17. Now I say and testify unto the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You want to know how to fill your life with the Spirit? There it is. You can't be who you were. You can't be who you were. You got to be who God has made you to be. You got to live your life of love. I mean, you've got a new life. You've got a new jar. Live your life of love and let the Spirit fill it. The main way that you can do that is to understand and accept that the Spirit wants to be in you. He wants to be in you. God wants His Spirit in you. It says 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, it says, do you not realize that you are the temple of God? When you've been baptized, when you've got Christ, God wants to dwell in your heart. He wants to be in you. In fact, 17 says that anyone that destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. I mean, that's how serious it is. That's how serious God takes it. That's how serious you should take it. Your body, your life, your everything is a temple of God's. And according to 1 Corinthians 3:17, you're that temple, and that temple is holy. If we allow Jesus to break our hearts, if we allow Jesus to heal our hearts, and we allow him to fill our hearts, then this whole thing of not living your old life, it's not as daunting as it seems. If you've got the things of Christ in the forefront of your mind, in the forefront of your actions, and you're walking and you're living in the fruits of the Spirit, then staying filled with the Spirit, it's not as daunting as it seems. And you're going to be met with opposition. But if you keep all of these things in mind, all of these ways of truth and the service and the humility and the love that it talks about here, if all of those things are the forefront of your life, then you kind of understand the reason why I think that this world is not my home is such a great song. All of a sudden, this doesn't matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter what's happening outside of my spiritual life, because This isn't my stopping point. This is where I'm hanging out for a while until Jesus calls me home. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. So if there's anyone here this morning that have broken or convicted hearts and would like to begin the rebuilding process with baptism, we want you to come up here. Or if you have, if your jar's been rebuilt and it's been filled, but you've allowed a chip in it and you just need some prayers, we want you to come up here too. Anything that y'all might need, please come while you stand and sing.
To kind of speak, I guess, a little bit that kind of hit me listening to Tony's lesson. I think everybody is a little frazzled. I know I am. Maybe it's just me. So if there's at least one other person in here that's a little frazzled about what's going on out there in the world, then maybe you'll get something out of this, like I did. You had us turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And you had us look at some passage there. And I want to go back. I want to look at that again. Because we look at what's going on in the world right now. We look at what's, right now, what's always been going on in the world. I mean, there's nothing new. There's nothing different. There's always been sin. There's always been those in power that don't know the right way. We can't look to our leaders to make the right choices, because we can't even look to ourselves to always make the right choices. There's nothing in this life that is firm, that is certain, except for one thing. And that is our faith, and that is our Lord. We can look to our Lord, we can have faith, and we can have hope, and we know that He is always in control, and His will always be done. No matter what battle, no matter what struggle, no matter what is placed before us, I think all of us in this room have probably never faced some of the things that we've read about in this book that some others have faced. And I don't know if it's going to come to that, but if it does, it's the will of God. What better way to ignite God's people than through difficulties and struggle, to let them rely on His strength, to let them stand up, to let them hold fast to what is firm, to what is certain. So Ephesians 5, beginning in 15. Look carefully then now how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I mean, that right there, I know that was not what you wanted to go to. It was a total mistake, but as soon as he read that, I was like, wow, I needed to hear that. Maybe you did as well. And I wish this thing was working, because you talked about break my heart, breaking your heart. It's a good song. It's not in our songbook, but that would be a good one as well. But I do want to sing one more song. Let's turn to song number 647. Let's remember who we belong to. And this world is not our home, but we are his and we are his soldiers. We are here to do his will. And let's be standing, please.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts.
Anybody have any prayer requests? Robert just announced or told me this morning that the Viegases are at home. Both of them have COVID?
I think so.
Okay. And we want to make sure that we keep them in our prayers, not just because of COVID, but also because Romeo's had a lot of pretty severe health issues. So we want to make sure that we're praying God's comfort and healing in their lives. Josh. Bill and Sherry, or Bill and Kathy?
Bill and Kathy.
Bill and Kathy, okay. Well, neither one of the Bigums are here, so I was going to make sure there wasn't both families there.
The McCoys had their baby on, what was that, Friday morning?
One of these days.
Yeah, they had it. Meals until Thursday. I have a sign-up list. We'll do the rest of this, the end of this week and all of next week, and then her family should come
So if you didn't hear that, the McCoys had their baby. Got some of the fattest little cheeks I've ever seen. It's a cute little picture. If you're on Facebook, check out the picture on the Facebook page, the Sunrise page. And also, you said Thursday? We're going to start doing meals Thursday. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. We're going to wait that long because Chester's family is going to be in town, and so they're going to take care of the food and stuff. No berries. She's allergic to berries, in case y'all didn't. No berries. Any others? Ben? Yeah, COVID. Nick Ash?
Sick and everything works well.
All right, let's pray. God and Father, we praise your name. We thank you for being the awesome, powerful God that you are, and we thank you for showing your power in every day of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you open our eyes so that we can see it, even though we don't know what's happening. We pray, Lord, that you open our eyes so we can see what's going on. We know that everything that you do, there's a plan. And we know that you're in control, Lord. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for just the presence you are in our lives. Lord, we pray that you bring your healing hand. Lord, there's members of our congregation that have COVID. There's members of our workplaces that have COVID. There's people that we know that know people that have COVID. Lord, we pray that you just put your healing hand on it and take care of the situation. Take care of just the whole pandemic for us, Lord. Just we pray that you provide peace and comfort to all of us and those that are panicking about it and those that aren't, and we pray, Lord, that you provide peace between the two and understanding between the two, and we pray that you just intervene for us, Lord, not just with healing, but with wisdom and kindness and love. Lord, we pray that you be with Romeo while he's got COVID. One of the things that they're saying is if you have underlying issues, it can be very fatal. So, Lord, we pray that you heal him quickly, and we pray that you put your arm of protection around the Villegas family. Lord, we pray that you be with the McCoys. We celebrate with them. We praise your name for EJ, and we pray that he grows to be healthy and happy and willing servant of yours, Lord. And we pray that you be with Charlie and Chester as they embark on the adventure of parenthood, Lord. And we pray that you, again, give them wisdom and patience and love And we just pray that your wisdom guides them in raising their son. Be with Chester's family as they're coming into town, and we pray that they're able to handle everything that they need to handle and help them get EJ home. We pray that you be with the Nick Ash family, and the loss of family members is hard on everyone involved, and we just pray that you give comfort and peace to that family. And our hearts go out to them, family members. It's a tough loss. Again, Lord, we pray that you be with all of us. We pray, Lord, that you give us your strength and your wisdom. And as we heard today, we pray that you break our hearts and you heal our hearts and you fill our hearts. We pray every day for your Spirit. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your wisdom. And we pray for your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.